You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 3. We'll start there. Now, I want to start out teaching on this series. First of all, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, with the Holy Ghost. I think that's real important because in charismatic Pentecostal circles, full gospel circles, sometimes we just throw words around as if they have no meaning. I'll hear people say, and they just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what they mean, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost. Actually, being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, which you'll find in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19, and for certain that's what they did in Acts 8, although it does not say that specifically. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost is just that. It's being baptized with, not by, the Holy Ghost. And that distinction needs to be made because I think there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. People that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that love God, good people, and there's some good churches in our town that don't necessarily teach what we do on the gifts and on speaking in other tongues, but they're Christians nonetheless. They love God. They're washed in the blood. But in talking with many of these people, they say, well, we've all had an experience with the Holy Ghost, and they're right. You can't be saved unless the Spirit of God has saved you, taken you, and immersed you into the body of Christ. But that, I'd submit to you, according to the Scripture, is being baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, not being baptized with the Holy Ghost by Jesus. Now, I didn't make that up. That's in the Scripture. We'll go through that, and I want you to look at those words because I think it's very plain. And usually when God means Holy Ghost, He says Holy Ghost. Unless it's symbolic, and it's obvious that there's symbolism from time to time. But when He means water, He usually says water. God's funny like that. When He means Christ or the body of Christ, He says the body of Christ. And so if you'll just really take Him at His word, you'll pretty well figure this thing out. Amen? And if you go through the Scripture, you'll find out. I found this out quick. In fact, when I first got saved, I realized that there's... I started out with Mark 16 chapter. I don't know how I wound up in Mark 16. But when I accepted Jesus 35 years ago, I actually joined a church that did not believe in speaking in tongues and believe in gifts of the Spirit. They loved God. They were Christians. They accepted Jesus and preached Jesus as far as salvation is concerned. They just didn't preach being baptized by Jesus and getting filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. But when I joined that church, I had gotten saved actually from someone witnessing to me on my job. And they told me about Jesus. I accepted Jesus. I was born again, truly saved. And I knew I was because I sensed it. I had the Scripture on it. And then I went looking for a church. So I kind of did things a little backwards. I wasn't saved in a church. I got saved on a job, actually at my home, from a man witnessing to me on a job. So Brenda and I went to a church that, of the flavor she grew up in when she was younger, and it was a denominational church that did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit or healing or miracles or tongues. But me, I didn't know up from Sikkim, you know, I'm just saved. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I had Mark the 16th chapter, and this is the most amazing thing. It says, you know, go to all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up service. They drink any deadly thing. It shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's all I had. That's all I knew. I just brand new in the Bible, so I'd been reading that. And from that, I realized I had believed on Jesus. I felt like I needed to be baptized, water baptized. Not to be saved. I felt like I ought to follow through. Jesus wanted me to do that. We're supposed to go around and baptizing people in water. So we went to this church for a week or two, and I came down the invitation. I raised my hand after, I think, the second week, and sat down at the front row with the pastor and got my Bible out and sat down with him, and I said, I got a question. He said, what's that? I said, I know I'm saved. I said, I accepted Jesus a couple weeks ago in my home. I'm 19 years old. Very educated young man. I was kicked out of high school in 10th grade. All I had was the Bible. And I said, I've got a question. I said, Mark 16 chapter, it lists some things here. It says, he that believes and baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. My question is, I feel like I need to be baptized, and I want to know if it's okay for me to be baptized in this church if you don't believe that. Or do I need to go find a church that does believe that for me to be baptized? I don't think a baptism is going to save me. This is literally what Bernie was shaking. She was sitting right beside me the whole time because she was raised up in this kind of church. She knew they didn't believe that. But I didn't. I didn't have enough. I thought everybody believed the Bible that was saved. I just assumed when I showed him that, if he didn't believe it, he would then. You know, he'd just believe it when I showed it to him. Didn't know what I was doing. But I said that, and he looked at me, and he looked at that, and he said, well, he says, you know, we have some people in this church that do believe that way, and we have some people that don't. He said, personally, I don't believe that's for today, but I don't know what that would make any difference, you being baptized here in the church. You're wanting to be baptized, so I think that would be all right. All this time, I'm thinking he's really just trying to get my number on his roll, you know. But I did follow through, and we went ahead and joined that church, and I got water baptized there. And, man, we were faithful, and I witnessed a telephone pole. We went every Tuesday night, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every class. I mean, we went to everything, you know. But this thing was just nagging at me. They shall speak with tongues. Cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. Acts 2, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. Acts 10, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. Acts 19, Paul laid hands on them, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, they spoke with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, a whole chapter on just how they're supposed to operate in the church. And I'm thinking, man, you know, we don't do this in this church. In fact, when we officially joined the church, they gave us a packet. And in the packet, it had three little pamphlets. One of them was gifts of healing, miracles, and wonders, and why they passed away. Another one was five reasons why we do not speak in tongues. And the other one, so now you're born again. I'm not making this up. Now, you'd think I'd have enough sense to just hit the door and leave, but see, I didn't know. I hadn't been taught. I don't know what I thought. Maybe I thought if I'd stay there, I'd convince them all or something. I don't know what I was thinking, you know. I just knew I believed it because it was there. And I had made this decision in my life. When I came out of drugs and jails and I came out of that lifestyle and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and I'd found in the Scripture where I could be saved, I decided I was going to believe everything in it. Period. I wasn't a rocket scientist. I didn't know what I know today. So you can't say, well, you were just real intelligent. I was about as dumb as dirt, okay, when I got saved. Especially about God and the Bible. I didn't know where the books were or anything. I just got saved. But I had enough sense to realize that if I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, turn my whole life over to what God said in John 3:16 or Romans 10:9, then I was going to turn my life over to the rest of it, and whatever He said I was going to believe it, I didn't care what it sounded like. Are you with me? Not a bad way to start out. Thank God, I don't know where I got that from. That must have been God, but thank God I had that much sense. That when I got saved, even in a church that didn't believe it and didn't teach it, you know, I kind of felt sorry for them. Still going, didn't realize that there was churches out there that really talked about this in detail, you know. And then, of course, subsequently, we wind up at Lakewood Church. I actually went to a Kenneth Hagin meeting. I know who Kenneth Hagin was. It's 1975. We went to a Kenneth Hagin meeting. Went over there with some friends we were having a Bible study with. And he gave the invitation for salvation. I was saved, so that wasn't a problem, you know. But then he gave an invitation. He said, now if you're saved, you're washed in the blood, and you're going to heaven, and you know it, and yet you have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you do not speak with other tongues, then this invitation is for you, and you're a candidate for this experience. And I thought, wait a minute. That's it. That's what I've been looking for. I've been reading that from all through the book of Acts. I've been reading that, 1 Corinthians, the 12th, 13th, 14th chapter. My goodness, I never heard anybody talk about that. An invitation to come down and get that. I'm there. I am so there. I mean, I stood up immediately. I thought, yes. First time I ever went to a church like that, they asked something like that. And that was back in 1975. And man, I went down front and they prayed with us. And man, I spoke in tongues and woo, the party was on. I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, Brenda, nothing really happened to her right then. It was about 3 days later. We were at the house, and we were praying. She was praying in the room. I think she's praying for Chris or something. And I mean, the Holy Ghost fell on her about 3 days after that, and she started just speaking in tongues and a real biblical experience. Okay, these things have not passed away. This is in the Word. This is biblical. This is scriptural. This is what God wants for every believer. And when we say these things, we preach these things, and we experience this thing, we're not against people that, you know, that don't have that in their life. We are for church. We're not against Baptists and Methodists and, are you with me, and Catholics and people that may not have this experience. If they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're saved, they're going to heaven. But even Jesus told His disciples to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Because we're missing out on the supernatural by not being baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're missing out on healings, miracles, many, many things that God wants to do. He does supernaturally, and we need all the supernatural power we can get. And that's why He wants us to follow through here. Matthew 3, have you found it? Matthew 3rd chapter. Notice what it says here. And this to me is fascinating, because this is in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John, it's in Acts. Well, that pretty well covers it. And what it is where John, remember John the Baptist, he was baptizing in Jordan at Bethabara on the Jordan River. And speaking of Jesus, he said in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who comes or is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals or shoes I am not worthy to unloose or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Everybody say, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really pretty simple. It's not complicated. If you could think about being baptized with something, then that's the element that you're being baptized with or into. If I baptize you with water or into water, then that's the element I am using. But I am the baptizer. That makes sense? John baptized with water. He was the baptizer, but the element or what he baptized with or into was water. Well, Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Now still, that's not what saves you. I'd submit to you, that's really not what saves you. Because what saves you is being in Christ or being baptized in Christ. See, the wording is real plain here. It says, I baptize with water. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost. You know what 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us? It says, we are all by one Spirit baptized into the body of Christ. Isn't that right? And the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, all things become new. Now, he didn't say if any man be in water, he's a new creature. He didn't even say if any man be in the Holy Ghost, he's a new creature. But he does say if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the Bible also tells us in Galatians 3:27, it says, to as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that what it says? So, if you look at it, and the words mean something, don't they? Don't words mean? We've got to take these things as they're literally just like they say. So, when John said he baptized with water and Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost, I'd submit to you the Scripture goes on and tells us that the Holy Spirit baptizes with Jesus. So, when you got saved, you had an experience with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit took you and put you into the body of Christ. You weren't baptized with the Holy Ghost, you were baptized by the Holy Ghost. Make sense? In fact, if I had three buckets, I don't have three buckets. There's no... Dale, could you go back there and get me three buckets? I'll just throw them up here and just make a little illustration. It's real simple. And the thing to do is look at the Scripture. There's so much confusion on water baptism, where it saves you. Sometimes Pentecostals say you got to speak in tongues to be saved. You got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to be saved. No, you got to be baptized by the Holy Ghost to be saved. If you can imagine three buckets right here. Okay, we're back in first grade. Everybody stay with me. Let's see. Can y'all see over here? Okay, I'll put it up high. Three buckets. Three baptisms. Oh, here's a good one for you. Hebrews 6 chapter tells us this. First verse, it says, let us go on to perfection, not laying aside the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Everybody say baptisms.
Baptism.
Plural. Okay. So the Bible talks about plural baptisms. Now, what's he talking about? What do you mean plural baptisms? Another food for thought. Throw this out. Let's chew on it. In Ephesians, the Bible tells us there's one baptism. And yet the Bible tells us there's many. What's he talking about? There's only one saving baptism. One Lord, one faith, one God. Well, there's many faiths, but there's only one saving faith. There's many lords. Jesus is Lord of lords, plural, and King of kings. But there's only one saving Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many baptisms, but there's only one saving baptism. Well, is it water baptism? No, that's what man does. Man baptizes you in water. So it can't be water baptism. That can't save you because that's what man does. That's a sign of salvation. That's a public profession of salvation. That's something you follow through with to show that you have been saved. So that only leaves two baptisms, being baptized by Jesus or being baptized by the Holy Ghost. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost or being baptized with or into Jesus. Well, the scripture is very plain. There's only one baptism that will save you, and that's when you are baptized into Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are immersed into the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us, if you write notes in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 13, verse, it says, we are all by one Spirit baptized into the body of Christ. That's salvation. That's the work of salvation. That's not tongues. That's not what happened in Acts 2. It is not what happened in Acts 19 or Acts 10. What happened there when they spoke with other tongues is when Jesus took them and baptized them with the Holy Spirit. And then man takes you and baptizes you with water. So you got three buckets. One of them's got Jesus in it. Stay with me. Track with me. One of them has the Holy Ghost in it. One of them has water in it. You got three people standing behind these buckets. The one that has Jesus in it, the Holy Ghost is standing behind that bucket. And being saved is a work of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us has had an experience with the Holy Spirit, we could not be saved. He's taken us, He's immersed us into the body of Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But there's another one that man takes us and baptizes with water. I got it mixed up, I know. It's over here. Stay with me. Man baptizes with water or into water, correct? With or into, by man. With or into Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus comes along and baptizes with the Holy Ghost. With or into. This doesn't save us. It endues us with power. In fact, we have to be saved to even get that one. You got to be washed in the blood before you can have the Holy Spirit anyway. Amen? And there again, I challenge you, you know, go through the scripture, look at what it says, see who's baptized, who's standing behind the bucket, and see what's in the bucket. And the way you know that is by what the scripture says. This is why there's so much confusion, because we just mix them all up, you know, and throw them all together, and they don't work that way. You don't have the same person doing the baptizing, and you don't have the same element that you're being baptized with or into. Now, let's read it again. Matthew 3, verse 11. John speaking. This is not complicated. It's real simple. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes, sandal, I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That doesn't repeat the word fire in every instance, but if you're writing notes down, I hope you are, Mark, the first chapter, the 8th verse, says the very same thing we just read. Luke 3, verse 16, says the very same thing I just read. And John 1:33 says the very same thing that I just read. All four Gospels, so God didn't want us to miss this. He wants us to know that Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Does that help anybody? Turn to Acts 1, if you would. Acts 1st chapter. Glory. Man, you ought to be able to make a case. I mean, you know, there's nothing that takes place of an experience. I understand that. And And if I didn't know all the scriptures, the experience alone, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's like the blind man says, all I know, I was blind, now I see. I know that's enough, but it doesn't help someone else get that experience. I think sometimes in Pentecost churches and charismatic and full gospels, and we are of that flavor, we put so much emphasis on the experience, and rightly so, we should have the experience. But we don't do any teaching on it, so we can't reproduce it. We kind of wait around for the Holy Ghost to fall, for something to happen, and yet here we are. We can, by faith, get in the Word and reproduce this, teach someone, share it with someone, lead them into it, and yet without the teaching, we can't do that because we don't know how we got it. We got it. We don't know what it is. Woo-wee! We're excited, and it's wonderful. Oh, glory. Man, that's good. And I'm all for that. Stay with me. But we need teaching so we can share that. So we can give an answer of the hope that is within us. So people can know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. So when a guy comes along and says, oh, I don't believe all that. Where in the world did you get that? You can go through the Scripture and say, well, let's look at this. Let's take these words apart. Let's see what happened here. Man, this is when we really start helping others with this experience. Amen? So we've got the Holy Ghost and we've got the Word. You know, I always heard it this way, that if all you have is the Spirit, you'll blow up. But if all you have is the Word without any manifestation, you'll dry up. The Word gives us direction, but the Spirit is the dynamic and the power. And too many times it's an either-or thing. You get in some churches and it's just all legalism. It's all just teaching. There's no power. There's no anointing. It's dry. Oh, it may be Scripture, but it's dry. But then on the other hand, you got some churches, you got nothing but power. There's really no teaching. But woo, baby, I mean, it's exciting. You're bouncing off the walls. And, you know, there are times where that happens. But if that's the staple diet, if that's going on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, over and over and over, and there's no teaching, then you just blow up. It's emotional, or it can be. Stay with me. So what we need to do is merge the two, where we have the direction of the Word and we have the dynamic of the Spirit. We have these moves of the Spirit, but we also have direction. What's so good about this, when you get up Monday morning and that anointing didn't seem to be there and you're not all that excited, you do have the Word to stand on. And you can get the anointing going again. Woo! Because you got the direction, you got the map that'll get you back to that place. But you got to have both, amen? The dynamic of the Spirit and the direction of the Word. You won't dry up or blow up, you'll grow up. Glory. Acts 1. That's what we're doing here, is just teaching. You know, I share with you my experience. And that's good, well and good, but the experience, I need to be able to back it up with the Word.
That's right.
Amen? Okay. Acts 1. Now, this is when Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He'd already been seen by the disciples for 40 days. They had already confessed Him as Lord and God. Thomas told, He said, my Lord and my God. I mean, there's no question. They believed He was the Messiah and the Christ. They definitely believed the tomb was empty. They were looking at Him. They actually ate with Him. They talked with Him for 40 days. All the requirements, according to the Scripture, were fulfilled for salvation's sake. I mean, what does the Scripture say? John 3:16, Romans 10:9, 1 John 5:1, on. If you believe that, confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. I mean, they had done that, hadn't they? I mean, obviously they believed He was raised from the dead. They believed He was Lord and God, and they confessed Him as Lord, and so what happened in Acts 2? I think this is interesting because what's leading up to Acts 2 is not Jesus not telling them to wait around to get saved. And He's not telling them to wait around so they'll have something to preach about Him being saved, because they already knew He was raised from the dead. They already had that message. They could have gone out and shared that. He didn't even tell them to wait for salvation or wait to be saved. He said, wait till you be endued with power from on high, and then you shall be witnesses unto me. Wow. Kind of reminds me of Jesus in one sense. He waited till he's 30 years old before he started his ministry, and he waited till the Holy Spirit came on him before he started it. Now, I'd submit to you, Jesus was the Son of God for 30 years. He wasn't any more the Son of God after the Holy Spirit came on him as he was for 30 years before the Holy Spirit came on him when he was baptized by John in Jordan by Bethabara. But something happened to him. He did come in the power of the Spirit. And he began to do signs, wonders, miracles, and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and do those kinds of things. Because you cannot represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. You can talk about it, you can share your faith, and people can accept Jesus and get saved, but you know people don't get healed, they don't get baptized with the Holy Spirit, demons don't come out. And Jesus doesn't want us to pick and choose we're not going to Luby's, the restaurant, and pick and choose what we eat here. He wants the gospel to have miracles, signs, and wonders in it. He wants the gospel to have the power of God in it. He wants the gospel to have casting devils out in it. He wants people filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. Or else, why did he tell them to wait? What in the world they had to wait for? Woo! Think about it. Okay. So Acts 1, he says this in Acts 1st chapter 4th verse. He says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Boy, that's a whole teaching. The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. That's an interesting phrase. Interesting enough that when you look at the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what the promise of the Father is. Not eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God to the sinner. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. In fact, it's not until you receive the gift of God, eternal life, that He's your Father. But once you get the gift, God's gift to the sinner is eternal life. God's promise to His children is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I challenge you to get your concordance, look up promise of the Father, that phrase, and you'll see that that's the case. What happened was, the promise of the Father was being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was not eternal life. Eternal life came when you accepted Jesus, and it's God's gift to the sinner, but His gift to His children, His promise to His children, is being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Not to teach a whole teaching on that. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me, or of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, or not many days hence, King James Version. Notice he's still repeating what Matthew said, Matthew 3:11 and Mark 1:8 and Luke 3:16 and John 1:33. He's saying the same thing was repeated to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's saying it's the same way. He says, John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, you've heard of Me. You've heard Me. I will do this. I'm the one that does that. So you wait around till you get this experience. What happened in Acts 2 is they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Notice he did not say, wait till you be saved. Wait till your sins are washed away. Wait till you be immersed into the body of Christ. He didn't even mention that. That wasn't even a point he was making. When he gives a little more detail later on in the 8th verse, he says, but you shall receive power. Not salvation, not the new birth, not washed in the blood. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Woo! Y'all getting this? Not add anything to it, take it away, just listen, just see what it says. I think it's fascinating when you do the count and do the math. The Bible tells us Acts 2, that there was 120 people in the upper room. If you read through here in Acts 1 all the way into Acts 2. And 120 people got baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues, is what it says. And 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says there were over 500 people saw Jesus ascend up into heaven at one time. And he said the greater part of them are still alive today. Many are asleep. Have died by the time he wrote 1 Corinthians. But he says the greater part of those are still alive today. So over 250 were still alive that had seen Jesus ascend up into heaven. Wow. This instance right here where He ascended up into heaven. It's amazing that over 500 people, only 120 of them were at Pentecost. At least 380 plus didn't even wait around to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. But they were around to testify to Jesus' resurrection. Many of the greater part, over 250, were still around to testify by the time 1 Corinthians was written. Woo! always like to say it this way. On the day of Pentecost, you had 120 Pentecostals and 380 Baptists. God bless the Baptists. Now, I say that, you know, with if you're listening to this and you see this on TV, we love you. You know, goodness gracious, we're for you. But the point I'm making here is they receive power. It didn't say they received salvation. And we hear that all the time. We always talk about that and say that dispensationally. You know, we'll say this happened and that happened and so on and so forth. But the requirements for being born again are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's been raised from the dead, and confess Him as Lord. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. Jesus didn't even tell them they were going to get saved. He told them they're going to get endued with power. But He thought it was important enough for them not to run off. Because let me tell you something, they had something to share right here. Before Acts 2, they had plenty to talk about. Are you catching this? They could have run out and preached Jesus rose from the dead. Are you kidding me? They saw Him. They talked when they saw Him ascend up into heaven. They had a message. But He wanted them to wait till they'd be endued with power from on high. Woo. So we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about those of us who are saved. We ought to go get this experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We need this power for service, power to be a witness, and power for the supernatural. Because the church, as you walk through the book of Acts, and you walk with Peter and Paul and these men as they preach the gospel, I tell you, they had miracles, they had signs, they had wonders. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a record of how the church was grew and what happened in the early days of the church. And there are just chapter after chapter of this. In fact, in Acts 2, when they got this experience, let's just turn there. Is this helping anybody?
Amen.
Okay. In Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, Pentecost was just a feast. It was a feast mentioned in Leviticus 23. It was 50 days after Passover, I believe. 50 days. So, what happened? Jesus was seen 40 days after the resurrection. They're in the upper room 10 days, 50 days. And so, when the 50 days was fully come, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, then it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. From heaven, a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They're all sitting down, just like y'all were. Where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, or diversity of tongues, of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, the manifestation of this was obviously, you could say fire was a manifestation, tongues of fire. But the thing you see in common in all these instances in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19, the common thread you see is they all spoke with tongues. It didn't say one spoke with tongue, one prophesied, one had a word of knowledge, one had a vision. It says they all spoke with tongues. This is not the gift of tongues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10, the 10th verse actually. This is something that comes on everyone who's baptized with the Holy Spirit. I often hear people say, well, I believe in tongues, I just don't believe it's my gift. You might hear that. I've heard charismatics say, you know, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I believe in being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but see, I didn't get tongues, that's not my gift. What they're confusing is the ministry gift in the church that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another is given the word of knowledge. To another is given the gift of discerning spirit. To another the gift of tongues. To another discerning, a prophecy. Another, you know, it lists nine gifts there. That's ministry in the church. But emphatically and without question, in Acts 2, they all spoke with tongues. In Acts 10, they all spoke with tongues. In Acts 19, they all spoke with tongues. Are you with me? So that could not be the gift with an interpretation in the church. That must be something different. This is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So what happened here was they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them the ability, but they still had the choice to do it or not. They began as the Spirit gave them the utterance. If you don't begin, it won't happen. Because He gives you the utterance, and then you begin it. You start it. You speak it out. You know, often when I'm praying for people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I encourage them to quit talking English. Because their inclination is when you're praying for them, they're praying, they're going, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, oh, thank you. And that's well and good, and there's a time to do that. But when you're being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you've got to stop English and go off into tongues. And you got to begin it. You don't begin tongues by saying, thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? You don't begin tongues by saying, hallelujah. And if you're from Mexico, you don't begin it by saying, you know, Jesus es Señor, and, you know, you yeah, gracias, 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 gracias. You got to stop. In fact, I'll say that when I'm in Mexico. You got to stop speaking Spanish and start speaking in tongues. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, the Spirit gives you the utterance. And I don't ever tell people to copy me. I've heard people say that too. That's not. I don't believe they told people to copy them. They just laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They left their language, whatever it was, whether it's English or whether it's Spanish or... And then they began to speak in other tongues. I remember we went down to, oh, where we go? Monclova. We were in Monclova, Mexico, with Henry and Joseph Saragossa. Bert and I went down there. We took all the kids with us. They were much younger. We put them all in a van, hauled them down there. Chris was about, I mean, Jonathan was about 2. Jennifer was about 4 or 5. 4 or 5. Of course, Jennifer, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know. And we went down there, and I preached in that church, and I did some meetings while we were there. And we got in the church. No, we went to a park is what it was. We went out to a park, and all the little kids ran over to Jennifer because she had blonde hair and blue eyes. I mean, you know, she was an oddity down there. And they were all talking to her, you know.
It was at the church that she...
Was it at the church, outside the church, in the parking lot or whatever? Anyway, they were gathered around there, all those little kids talking to her, just, yeah. Of course, all speaking Spanish, and she didn't understand them. And so Jennifer comes running up to us. She's 4 or 5. And she says, Mom, Daddy, all these kids are filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them speak in tongues. Every one of them. And I had the hardest time explaining to her. I said, now Jennifer, they're speaking it in Spanish. They're not speaking. They don't speak English. Right. Yeah, they're speaking in another language. I said, no, that's not tongues. That's Spanish. Right, it's another language, and I just couldn't had the hardest time getting across to her. They didn't, so she get in the middle of them. She'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost since she's about 4, I guess, probably about a year or so by that time. And you'd see her running out there just speaking in tongues while they were talking to her in Spanish, and they didn't know any different because they didn't know English anyway, so they thought she was probably speaking some other language. But anyway, you started out, amen? it's not Spanish, it's not English. It's speaking in other tongues. The Spirit gives you the utterance and you speak it. You can't just wait for the Spirit to take your tongue over. He does not do that. Did you know the same context, Mark 16 chapter, where it tells you they shall cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know as well as I do that the Holy Ghost doesn't take your hand and pick it up and put it on somebody. You of your own free will lay hands on the sick and they recover. And even in casting out devils, the Holy Ghost doesn't take you, pick you up, and float you through the air over to the front of someone that has a devil, speaks through your mouth and says, come out. You of your own free will go do that. It also says, they shall speak with tongues. Well, I don't know where we get this idea that we cannot speak in tongues unless the Holy Ghost just comes on us and takes us over. Actually, we of our own free will do it. Now, He gives us the utterance. He gives us the ability, the unction, as it were, but it says they began.
Yeah, that's right.
Now what it says? It says they began. They still had their will. They still had their choice. I can shut it off. I can turn it on. Now granted, I mean, when the anointing's strong, and, man, I'm praying and the Holy Ghost is on me, it's tough to shut it off, but I still can. I still can. Sometimes it's tougher than others. Are you with me? Then sometimes I don't even sense Him, but I can turn it on because I am baptized with the Holy Spirit and I'm able to speak in tongues at will according to the Scripture. You know, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. That's what Paul said. And so we can do it. Amen? Acts 10. Let's go over to Acts 10 and look at another instance of this. You know, I try to, when I teach anything, to answer questions. Questions that come up in my mind. Questions you'll be asked and maybe you've asked yourself. There are answers. If what you believe is the Scripture and it's scriptural and biblical, then there are answers to your questions. And there really are no dumb questions. If they're questions you don't know the answer to, they're not dumb when you're asking them. Are you with me? So you know, you think it through. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the gifts, a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about the gifts in charismatic churches, in full gospel churches, in Pentecostal churches. I mean, there's a difference between daylight and dark between one Pentecostal church and another Pentecostal church, one full gospel church and another full gospel church. I'm amazed at the division that takes place and how people get so upset in Pentecostal churches, between Pentecostal churches, because this Pentecostal church is too Holy Ghost, this Pentecostal church is not Holy Ghost enough, and thank God, this one is just right. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. We all believe in the gifts, we all believe in the Holy Ghost, but for some reason, we're not doing it enough, we're doing it too much, we're quenching it, we're allowing it, and we're not even talking about people don't believe, we all believe in it. Are you with me? But invariably, that is the case. And you just got to flow with the pastor. Are you with me? You have to flow with the pastor. I've been in churches where they're just a little too wild for me, but you know, that's the pastor, and he's flowing that way, and he believes in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost and the gifts. You know, if that's what he believes right, well, hey, he's going to have to answer, and that's his flow. Go with it.
Yeah.
Woo! But don't try to make this church like their church and their church like our church. Pray for the pastor. That went over real big. Okay. Man, I remember John Osteen. You know, I've been in churches that were just 10 times more Holy Ghost than Brother Osteen was when he was a pastor. If you're gauging outburst, are you with me? But I remember the Holy Ghost flowing there and gifts of the Spirit flowing there. Not necessarily, you know, just every single service, but you know, as the Spirit willed and so on and so forth. And man, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues every day. Are you with me? Believe in the gifts of the Spirit, so on and so forth. But, you know, I realize we're not Pentecostal enough for some people, and some people we're too much for them, you know. So you just got to, the pastor has got to answer to God. I've got to answer to God about what I believe is God, and then teach on it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you got to work with me. Acts 10, found it?
Yeah.
Now, just to give you a short story, a short version of this. Cornelius, who was a centurion, a Roman, he wasn't even saved, but he was a very very good man, gave alms and gave to the poor and supported the Jews and even built a synagogue, I think. Oh, no, that may be another centurion. But anyway, he had a vision from God. An angel appeared to him and says, go and send for a man named Simon, the house in Joppa, to the house of a Simon, a tanner, and this guy will come with you and show you how to tell you words by which you can be saved. And so they did. He sent two people over to Joppa, the city of Joppa. And Peter was on top of the house praying, and he fell into a trance and had a vision of a sheep coming down, you know, with all kinds of unclean beast on it, and a voice saying, kill and eat. Three times he heard this voice. And when he woke up from the vision, these men, three men actually, were knocking on the door. And the Spirit told him to go with them. And he did. He went with them. And then he began to preach to these Gentiles. Now, they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And this was kind of new for Peter. He hadn't been preaching Gentiles. In fact, he really wasn't the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was.
Yeah.
But in this case, Peter went and he preached to them. And while he was preaching to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And that picks up where we are now. Notice what it says here, the classic verse, 38th verse. Notice this. He's preaching how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets gave witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And notice the 44th verse. While Peter was still speaking these words, he was preaching to them, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, obviously, when he baptized them in the water there, that didn't save them. They were already saved. They'd already gotten saved. They believed the word. And they'd spoke with other tongues. How did Peter know that they had received the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues. So speaking with tongues was a manifestation. It was an evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know, loving your brother is not evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's evidence of salvation, that you have love one for another. By this you shall know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. That's not evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Evidence of baptized with the Holy Spirit, biblically, is speaking with other tongues. Or else I'm reading that wrong. It didn't say, "For they saw how much love they had." No, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues." Now Peter... Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I got to pick this up next week. Peter was called to count on this because he went and preached to a bunch of Gentiles. He went into a Gentile home and he preached to a bunch of Gentiles. And he had to defend himself in Jerusalem to the Jews at Jerusalem. And this is his argument, 11th chapter. 10th chapter, go right into the 11th chapter. He has to go to Jerusalem now and he's got to give it up. He tells the whole story of how he's up there tanning in that tanning bed. It's Simon the Tanner's house. Okay, just see if you're awake out there. He's on top of the roof, and he's got this vision he has, you know, and he explains the vision, how God told him, kill and eat, you know, who God hath cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. And the Spirit said, go, nothing doubted, and I went with them, and I preached to them. And he's explained this to Jerusalem. These Jews at Jerusalem say, what are you doing going preaching to these Gentiles? And he says here in the 15th verse, 11th chapter, 15th verse. Stay with me on this. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Y'all see that? So whatever happened in Acts 10 was the same thing that happened in Acts 2. According to Peter and according to the Word. Amen? As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, these Gentiles, as upon us at the beginning in Acts 2. Then, what was this experience? I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What was that experience? It's being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 was being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 was being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter said it was the same experience. He was reminded of the same promise and the same scripture, and he quoted it back to them. And it says, 17th verse, that therefore God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, that I could withstand God. Wow. Man, that's pretty strong. Amen. And that tells us that this is a second experience. It is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We often hear people say that, and it's really not that. I mean, you say, well, you're straining at words, but words mean something. I think they sure mean something if you put the three buckets up here, don't they? Yeah. I mean, paint and a painter are two different things. What you're painting with and who's doing the painting, two different things. And that distinction, if you don't make that distinction, it all gets mixed up, and then we'll get the idea, well, hey, I got all that stuff when I got saved. Have you heard that one? I've heard that lots of times. Well, I got it all when I got saved. Well, when you got saved, you got saved, you got saved. But when you got water baptized, you got water baptized. When you got saved, you got saved. When you got water baptized, you got water baptized. When you got baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Because those are three different things. And so, the question you need to ask yourself is, okay, I'm saved. Everybody in here is saved. I'm looking around. Goodness gracious. I'm saved. Am I baptized with the Holy Spirit? I venture to say probably most of y'all are baptized with the Holy Ghost, if not all. But if you're not, then you need to be endued with power from on high. And you say, how will I know if I ain't? Well, if you don't speak with other tongues, that's pretty sure, you know, evidence that you're not.